Welcome, everybody, to the August edition of In the Now. We're actually a little bit late on this edition. We're going to do it Friday, but we're actually doing it this Sunday due to scheduling problems.
We're actually in the future.
Work
is the title for this episode.
Yeah. You see, we didn't want to do a Friday show because we wouldn't be in the now talking about Friday news, so we have to do it Sunday.
So yeah, that's why.
Pretty much. Okay, so how are you guys doing, VR?
Oh, just dandy, thank you.
Dimitri?
I'm alive.
JP?
Ripping it up.
I'm alive. All right. This music in the background is via the Creative Nomad Jukebox. So, JP, Dimitri, is this thing just going to keep on playing through all the songs, or just...
Yeah. You might want to... I don't know what you want to do with it. It's going to go through the old set list, so you're going to hear some soundtracks from Sling Blade, I think it is.
Okay.
Oh, right on. That was a great movie.
It's a good movie.
We'll leave it on there.
Weird soundtrack, though.
Mm, you sure do make good biscuits. I like the way you talk.
So, all right. Let's go off into a couple stories here. We got a couple new things we're going to do this show. Here's a story about building a droid for the International Space Station. This is actually something I saw on the Discovery Channel, and I read another story about it. It looks like a sphere, like the sphere that's in Star Wars that helps Luke train. You know, the sphere that shoots off the beams of laser and he has to hit it?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, it's like that. What it does is it flies around the spaceship via a GPS system, and it helps the astronauts do some tasks that would be kind of... time-consuming and otherwise annoying for the astronauts. So it's going to be a cool little gadget that goes around and does the work for them.
So is it like a floating calculator?
More than that. It's basically like a floating 36-in-1 toolkit pocket knife.
Oh, so like a Leatherman. A little bit more complex.
Yeah.
I wonder how much that sent the government back.
Huh.
They've been playing that for a while now, haven't they? What's the target date, do you know?
It's actually already done. They're just, the demo, the beta version of it, I guess, is done, and they're just doing some testing of it.
Prototype,
and they're doing some testing. It's, I don't know. You could talk to it. You can, if it's next, you can ask it questions. You can ask it what's going on with the. It's plugged into the stats on the rocket ship or the space shuttle, whatever you want to call it, and you can ask it questions, and it'll turn stats for you, information back to you. I think it has a radio transmitter on it, so it can help you, I think you always have a radio transmitter on you. I don't know, something where it helps communicate with the other, pilots or space crewmen on board. So, it looks pretty cool, and it'd be kind of interesting if they actually came out with something like that that would, do something around your house.
Is it going to be on Bot Wars?
Bot Wars. That'd be, wow. Yeah. I don't know.
That would be kind of complicated to have something around your house because it...
Well, it's a little easier because it's done in, where there's basically no gravity.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how it moves around. Just kind of thumbing through the article here. I don't think it tells me what...
Shoots air.
I believe it, yeah, it's got a little air pressurized thing.
That's what I'm thinking. Here it is. Let's see. Like the fictional tricorder, the PSA will have sensors that detect the pressure and temperature of ambient air as well as concentration of gases such as CO2 for astronauts living in a sealed aluminum can in a vacuum of space. This kind of information can be a matter of life or death. Okay, that's not exactly how it moves. I think it's moved by air.
Yeah, which
or it could be a gerbil, like in those little balls that you put a gerbil in that roll around your house.
They could
it in zero G.
I think that
well, I'm talking about
I think that's what the
house.
Competitors are offering as a cheap alternative is the gerbil model. But
but seriously, that's one of the major like stepping stones they have to get over is the motion. I know that's usually the hardest part, and once you're in space, I mean, obviously it makes it a lot easier just to have little pressurized air jets. So that's why they're making them in space, apparently, before they make them on Earth.
Well, actually, they could just use sound as well as a form of movement. It actually could have little speakers on it. Or and actually magnets on it, because it's in, there's got to be enough metal around there to for it to be able to maneuver itself.
Interesting. That wouldn't that interfere with electronics though?
Well, all it'd take is a very small amount of a mag, you know, like electromagnet in it to get it to move a little bit.
Its official name is the Personal Satellite Assistant. It's 15.2 centimeters, 6 inches, as a diameter. Robot will fly autonomously around the shuttle or space station, floating effortlessly in a orbital free fall and propelling itself with a six small ducted fans. So actually it uses fans so it doesn't blow air like a CO2 cartridge. So that's...
So it never needs to be refilled.
Pretty much. Okay. And actually, I'll cover the little stories first, and then I'll go to the bigger ones. Dell drops Linux. Dell actually is dropping its Linux versions on workstations, so you can't buy Dell's workstations anymore. You can't buy Dell workstations with Linux anymore. You can still get it with the server model. They said that the reason that they dropped pre-configured Linux workstation machines is because there wasn't enough need for them. So, to me, I don't know. It'd be much cheaper. It's much cheaper getting the Linux workstations. And if you wanted to, if you had a copy of Windows at your house, you could throw it on there. Or, you know what I mean? Like, because basically you're just buying the machine itself. You're not paying for all the Microsoft fees.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are get mad when they buy the machine, then they have to pay for the OS unless you want to go assemble the thing yourself. It's kind of annoying to have Windows on there without being an option. You just want a Linux on there.
Yeah, there's especially with the thing about if you're a home user, I would nowadays Linux is so easy to configure. I'd go for it. I mean, it's much cheaper. It's pretty easy to set up. It's not dummy proof yet, but it's pretty easy to set up. A lot of distributions come with everything right there, kind of on the GNOME Start panel or KDE, whatever you use. So if you want to use Word applications, if you want to get on the internet, they've got little quick things to set up. I think no more effort than setting up a Microsoft machine. So I would definitely go for it. Plus, if you're with all the new XP stuff, about all the trouble of getting that put on a machine, and you can't put it on multiple machines, and it's pretty expensive to begin with. I figure, with the price for an XP, which, I don't know, it's like $260, something like that, for the full install, that's...
Seriously, anything post Windows 2000, like, don't even bother, because you're going to have to go through all that licensing garbage.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, as far as Windows products, Windows 2000, I think, is actually pretty good. I like Linux better, but it's actually pretty good. But XP just seems like a nightmare. I got a couple things we'll talk about later that a lot of people really don't like, some of the little schemes that Microsoft has thrown into XP. So, another interesting story. There's a MSN is bringing internet access to park benches in Bury Street, Elmonds, England. The bench for now will be in Abbey Gardens. People with laptops will be able to sit down at the bench, hook in to MSN service, basically just the internet provider. You hook into the bench, enjoy your view of the park and the sky and the birds, and get in your laptop and
bird poop.
Check out the web and relax, I guess.
Well, they're going to have the most high-tech homeless people in the world.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are going to be trading stocks. For some reason, they're going to probably find a website that's going to give them $5 for them, like, surfing the internet for 30 minutes, and then they'll take that $5 and invest it in stocks, and then that $5 eventually turn to $20 and, manage his money into making... You'll hear some crazy story from...
Hey, brother, can you spare a dollar? I just found a really good blanket on eBay.
Yeah. Oh, man, I forgot about shipping charges. So, that's going to be pretty interesting. But there's, with the whole wireless thing happening now, which is still kind of not really mainstream yet, and it still isn't working quite perfectly. Actually, there's somebody that hacked the wireless form of encryption. I think it's the 802.11. Don't quote me because I don't remember for sure, but I did read an article that somebody did hack that encryption that those wireless cards uses. Those cards use, but yeah, with that park bench too, you could stick a little wireless NIC on there and just run around.
I don't know. I guess it's kind of cool. It seems kind of cheesy to me. It's like an extension of the whole computers, like at the mall, for example, thing where you're cruising, but there's ads everywhere, and it won't let you go to the websites that are inappropriate, even if it's actually not inappropriate, especially if they just do it by word searches or something stupid like that, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough job. I mean, it's almost a no way you could make it right job finding what websites are deemable to be viewed by people, because how are you to say, or anybody else to say, you know, what's deemable? Some things are pretty obvious. You know, you don't want to see, like, children porn. Like, I don't think anybody wants to see that, except for some people that probably, I don't know, I wouldn't want to hang out with. But, yeah, it's pretty crazy just going to certain sites and saying, like, I really don't know many offhand, but I know for sure, like, 2600.com is, like, considered a hacker site when there's actually no hacker tools on that site. There's no, like, text files on how to hack and break into things. I think they had something like that they left over on their FTP site when I was looking on that. But on the website, it's pretty much just news stories. And, you know, there's other websites that are like that that are kind of treated that way. So it's pretty tough. But I guess someday, seamlessly, I think it's going to be like the Internet's going to be seamlessly everywhere. And it's going to be so dummy-proof for you to get onto it. You know, everyone's going to be doing it for every which thing. So, all right, well, here's another quick story about, Dimitri, you're probably not going to like this. For Microsoft XP, they're not going to be using Java anymore. No MOS.
There goes my college education.
No MOS Java.
Why would they not want to do that?
Because Java is probably owned by Sun, and they said, we don't need you, Sun. We'll probably come up with something else. Let me, here, I'll read the article. I'll go right here. Pre-release copies of Microsoft's new Windows XP operating system, which goes on sale this fall, drop the software needed to run Java-based programs. Java software is used to create some of the animated and interactive features of web pages and handheld devices. Web surfers using computers with XP won't see those features without loading additional software. A Microsoft spokesman said Java support was diminished for business reasons, of course, and noted that it follows last year's legal dispute with Java's creator, Sun Microsystems, Inc. Under terms of the settlement with Sun, Microsoft was given the right to continue to use earlier versions of Sun's Java code in Microsoft products for 7 years, but made no commitment to do so. The spokesman said Java support in Windows up until now is a lot of code that many users don't need, and if they do need it, there will be a variety of ways for them to obtain it, including through PC manufacturers who will pre-install it for them on Windows XP. By downloading it, or you can also download it from the web. After Windows XP is launched in October, users will be directed to download a plugin to Microsoft's website to make Java-based programs work. Without this step, any web page that contains Java applications will not run. It will be a dead page, said some person. This favors Microsoft new technologies will inconvenience consumers, he said. For web-based businesses, well, BitTech added, if you want your web page accessible by a large number of people, you may want to drop Java. That doesn't make sense to me at all. And switch to Microsoft's competing set of products, which is under development and is not known, or is known as .NET. So I guess we can all see where that's going.
Does that seem right, though, that they can just say, hey, you can't view this page now? You know, not giving us that right.
If people are using their product, they don't have to do anything.
Well, they can, I mean, you can download that kind of thing, you know what I mean? But it's going to be more separated issues. I hope everyone's seeing this. If you've seen how some of the stuff we talked about in the previous shows, how Microsoft is pretty much making their own world for computing and shutting other people out. Either you go Microsoft or you're gone, and or you're lost, right? So they're going to want you to go nowhere else. They're going to want to force you to get Microsoft. So what they're going to do is they're going to try as hard as they can to get it in your house by setting up their own guidelines, and then they're going to try as hard as they can to keep you off anybody else that's a competitor.
Well, I don't know. I hate that for business purposes. I mean, they might as well just come out. Everybody knows it's for purposes of, it's like when businesses cut something and they're like, for your convenience, we will no longer accept your credit cards. But double speak.
Well, it's kind of their whole method is capitalism at its finest. They're just the ones that have the most power, and so they can actually, like, position themselves in a position of being a monopoly.
Yep. knocked everybody else out.
And for some reason, no one wants to stop it. Except for a couple of people I'll be reading about in just a minute. There is... actually, we'll talk about this story. I'm going to get these other ones out of the way and focus on the main ones. This is kind of strange. They're called smart dashboards. And developed by IBM. I'll just go through and read the article here. Since cars have had backseats, motorists have been plagued with a hectoring advice of backseat drivers. But soon car drivers will be praising rather than cursing those nagging voices as IBM scientists develop an artificial passenger to help drowsy drivers stay awake and on the road.
Oh, that's awesome.
The artificial passenger can analyze speech for signs of sleepiness and is programmed to ask startling questions to provoke drivers in wakefulness. If all else fails, the dashboard will squirt cold water onto the face of the driver
love your sister as more than a friend? What? Shut up!
To keep them concentrating on the road ahead.
I think I slurred. There's water in my eye. Oh, a pole!
Could you pass me the mustard?
Okay, so the New Scientist reports that Waladik Zornonzi, said that wrong, I know, and Dmitry Kamovsobulabula, I can't pronounce it right, so I just won't pronounce it at all.
Butchering your language, Dmitry, aren't you offended?
Sorry about that.
I am very offended.
At IBM's Thomas W. Watson Lab in New York are creating the software surrogate that will lurk in the modified dashboard monitoring what a driver is doing. Drivers that nod off while at the wheel are thought to be responsible for causing up to 30% of road traffic accidents in the UK. According to the figures from the Transport Research Laboratory in Crowthorne, Berkshire, quoted by New Scientist magazine, the artificial passenger will work out if a driver is in danger of falling asleep by initiating conversation and monitoring responses, conversational clues. So pretty much, yeah, it's going to go on and on, but it's pretty much it's there as a kind of an entertainment. Hopefully you can turn it on and off.
Yeah, or otherwise you go, shut up, I don't want to talk right now. And I'll go, ooh, you're grumpy.
You better get off the road.
If you speak poorly of the government, it'll automatically pull you over.
It's going to take it and stop your car, and then it's not going to let you go until you make it happy.
I'm sorry, my artificial friend. Can I speak to you very nicely and patronizingly like I would to a plant?
I don't know, that's a pretty cool idea, because everybody's had times where you're struggling to stay awake, but I don't know how good it will be.
As long as it's much better AI than Ask Jeeves, then I think it'll be okay.
Wait, doesn't Ask Jeeves have to be human controlled?
Yeah, the humans program it. It's all pre-programmed.
They actually go through and
through each question.
Except it's terribly bad. It doesn't quite work right.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Here's a new virus, actually, that's come out. It came out, actually, a couple weeks ago. It's called the CIRCAM virus, and here's a snippet of how it works. Some email and inboxes continue to fill up with odd assortment of other people's personal documents and images sent without their owner's permission. Complements of the worm virus dubbed CIRCAM. Discovered on the wild on Wednesday, security experts had assumed the virus would quickly be contained, but now it appears the worst is yet to come. CIRCAM is spreading fast and is expected to hit many more computers over the weekend. Security Portal does not believe that CIRCAM has reached a critical threshold yet, but will likely do so within 72 hours, which was about 3 weeks back. The story is deleted. It's dated July 20th. Said Ken Dunham, senior analyst at Atomic Tangerine Security Portal. CIRCAM infects rates sharply escalating on Friday morning, and the virus is now number one on Trend Micro's live tracking map. Actually, right now it's code red, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. The virus can also reinfect a computer even if CIRCAM's files appear to have been removed and even if the computer checks out clean with some antivirus program scanners. CIRCAM stores several files in a recycle directory, which is not normally scanned by antivirus software. Even if the computer is updated against CIRCAM, it may not scan the recycle directory, potentially resulting in an incomplete mutation of CIRCAM. CIRCAM is not a chivalrous code critter. It is smart and can be vicious. Its code is sophisticated that it confuses antiviral companies who were unsure that the virus, what the virus did and how to get rid of it. The general agreement among security and antiviral firms now is that the CIRCAM is both a virus and a worm. It replicates itself as a worm does and also performs malicious actions on a computer like a virus does. Besides emailing a random selected document through from my documents folder to every email address stored in the infected computer system, CIRCAM also plays an odd little game of chance with an infected computer. When activated, the virus randomly chooses whether to take over all the unused space on the hard drive by filling it with text, or it may delete the contents of the hard drive. CIRCAM worms its way deeply into the affected computer's operating system and also changes its identity with each and every infected email it sends. When the computer is infected with CIRCAM, the worm copies itself to the C drive slash recycle-circ-c32.exe and as scam32.exe in the Windows system directory. The CIRCAM exe, circ32.exe file is then registered as a default startup command when executed default startup command for executable files so that it will run whenever any exe file is run. The circ32.exe file is registered as a driver that makes sure it will be started the system every time it boots.
You can only get it by opening the email though, right?
Yeah.
There you go. That's how to avoid it, people.
Actually, the best way to avoid it is not to use Outlook and or any Windows mail client.
Yeah, for the last week, my computer has completely been virus and worm...
infested.
No, actually,
free.
Immune. Why? Because it's been off.
Yes.
Ooh, pause for thought. Okay, resume speaking.
I didn't think of anything.
Yeah, I read an interesting thing about that virus, that somebody's PC was stolen, and then the person who stole it hooked it up, and then they got infected by the virus, and then it sent back the person an email, another email address he had, and so then he was able to track down where the computer was through the IP and everything, and get his computer back, apparently.
Oh,
I thought that was kind of
cool.
Funny.
Pretty interesting.
I don't know. Like, I tend not to open emails that say, "Hi, how are you?" from somebody I don't know, or something similarly suspicious.
It was great talking to you last night. Please send me another email.
I got one that said, "Here's the info you requested."
Oh, I got that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Or there's one that said, "Happy birthday." There's a happy birthday one.
Wait, I sent that to you.
Oh, okay.
You didn't read that?
No.
Yeah.
Jeez, I thought it was a virus. So.
My brother sent
me one.
Well,
there was a virus in it. But,
yeah. My brother sent me one. It was a joke. It's like the one that says, "Hi, how are you? This is the info you requested." Thing like that. I looked at the attachment just to open it up. It was a text file because there was like a com or whatever after that. And it said, you know, some profane language. And it said my name, like from Brian. Like, oh, okay, that was a joke.
Sorry. And everything sounds like beat poetry above that music.
Pretty much.
So I was installing some hardware the other day. You know what I'm talking about. Windows, XP, the new stuff. 386, old hardware, yeah. But I liked it, you know why? I'm just a Windows kind of guy, you know?
Mind solving blues.
Just booting up, clicking away, and taking it easy.
Technology turns me on.
Taking it easy.
Technology blues.
We got the technology blues.
That's right.
But we don't always do that. Because we have other things that we like about technology, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Wow, what a great intro.
That was great.
I'm going to be the segue man.
Oh, my goodness. Well, actually, well, if you want to go into that now, we can go into that now. And
after that segue, I think we're going to have to. All
right. Well, here at In the Now, we usually talk about things that bother us, things that we want to warn others about, things we'd like to have people think about.
We bitch and moan, let's face it. That's what we do.
Yes, we do sometimes. But it's all for a good reason, but we kind of wanted to switch it up a little bit, and we wanted to talk about some of the things that we actually enjoy. Things that we're not worried about taking over our lives. So, how about the JP? Do you want to start off on what you've liked lately that you've seen?
Yeah, I was happy to discover a website with a feature that I really liked. Now, most message boards you go to, they're really generic, or they don't even work right, or just, you know, the same sort of thing over and over again. But I was really happy with Slashdot's message board, when I checked it out, it's very deep. A lot of features to it. For example, when you post, other people can come through and rate your posting, and then that way, like, you get a score from -1 through 5. And then say you're going through the pages and you find a story, and then you want to read what people had to say about it, but you don't have 4 hours to search through tons and tons of posts. You can just tell it to find the very best posts, the ones with the highest scores. And that way you can just read the most interesting things. And it actually works really well. And it's just really deep. A lot of different things you can do through it and stuff. I was very happy with it.
Cool.
And that's my happy face of the month.
Actually, if you want to go through, we can actually go through a couple polls real quickly. And we'll see. We'll vote, and then we'll see what other people have voted. Let's see. Oh, here's some good ones. Okay. I'm going to use my tax rebate to buy a PS2, buy a GameCube, buy an Xbox, buy Cowboy Neil dinner. All right.
Cowboy Neil dinner.
Yeah, Cowboy Neil's on a lot of the posts, but I'm not quite sure who Cowboy Neil is. I think he's like the default if you just don't know what the heck is going on.
Well, I didn't get a rebate because I didn't pay any taxes.
Wow.
If I did, I would have bought a GameCube. In fact, I will buy one.
Okay. One for GameCube. I'm for GameCube.
I don't know. I think I'd just not buy any games.
One for Cowboy Neil.
One for Cowboy Neil.
I don't want to do that.
Cowboy Neil. It is.
No.
Cowboy Neil.
I want to save it.
Cowboy Neil.
There's no other options?
That's it, Cowboy Neil.
Well, screw that. I'll buy a GameCube.
All right.
All right. Three for GameCube.
I'll just take the money from Josh.
All right. VR?
Yeah, actually, I would actually have to say that if my name was Cowboy Neil, I would definitely buy myself dinner with that money.
You can't use that. That's a cheap cop out there.
Oh, called you on
that. Oh.
Can't do that. I'm going to beat you up
that's,
now.
That's just all right, not
then
even
what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy an Xbox.
Yeah.
And donate it to a third world country.
Don't do that. What? Xboxes or Microsoft machines.
What are they going to do without a TV?
Oh, wait. Was it the...
PS2 is...
PS2 that they were doing with the third world country.
That's the PS2.
Okay, then I'll buy a PS2.
Bring. Okay.
Oh, wait. That was breaking news. We just got a grant for here at our radio station. Just that you guys would like to know that. All right.
Woo!
All right. So, okay. This is saddening news because I already knew what the polls were because I voted previously, and I'm looking at them right now. The loser is the GameCube. The winner is the Xbox. The second place is Cowboy Neil, and PS2 is third.
What's the date on that poll?
Well, it's been voted on since...
Is that the current poll?
That's the current poll.
Oh, wow. Really? That's surprising.
Yeah, it's for some reason, I don't know why, this is kind of a Linux user site. And they want the Xbox.
Seems like that Neil guy would have beat the Xbox. Just seems like it.
Well, unless Microsoft hacked the site.
I don't think they really have to hack it.
Well, they made all their employees go and vote for it.
You know what I'm thinking, Dimitri? Basically, we could probably make a Java program that faked our IPs because it logs your IPs, mm-hmm. fakes your IPs, and then does a whole bunch of votes.
Yeah, we could do that.
And we'd... Pretty much, that'd be pretty cheap. We wouldn't do that, but somebody could do that. And they probably did that for the Xbox because I don't know why you picked the Xbox.
I don't know. It's pretty disappointing at E3, but that's just me.
I don't. It's just another PC. It's another computer. That's it.
Yep.
So why?
It's pathetic. I mean, seriously, why don't you go out and buy a GeForce 3 and a Pentium gigahertz system that basically you can get now for $1,000? And okay, this machine's probably gonna be like what, $300? But if you're gonna need a PC in your house anyways. Or if you already have a PC that already has the stats that could run games like that anyways, it'd just be, you know what I mean? Like, they would just release games that are built for that platform that, you know, that are supposed to play exceptionally well on that machine. It's the same thing as games that come out and they basically say, like, this machine has to been run on a Pentium 500 or more with 64 megs of RAM. You know what I mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. They decided to do it because there's a lot of money there, but I don't know. Their game lineup does not compare with the GameCube.
Nope. So you got another poll for us?
Yeah, we'll do one more poll. I'll let you guys decide what poll we should do. Let me read here. Let's see. Last completed level of education. Best hacker flick. Who would win in Battle Royale? Let's get one more for you.
Intriguing.
My clothes smell like...
I think the Battle Royale one sounds interesting.
Battle Royale?
Anybody?
Let's either that one or My Clothes Smell Like.
Well, okay, we'll do both of them real quick. Okay. Who would win in Battle Royale? Gandalf? Yoda? Ryoko? Elvis? OJ? Larry? Ellison? Cowboy? Oh. Neil? ESR?
Down there, Slitty.
Whoa.
Still one more time.
Gandalf? Yoda? Ryoko? Elvis? OJ? Larry Ellison? Cowboy Neil? ESR? And I'd put in Larry Flint, but they don't have that there.
You know, we all know Elvis is dead, so...
But if he was alive, would he win?
Is this old Yoda or young Yoda?
I don't know if it matters.
They didn't specify.
I mean, well, I would have to think Yoko, because all she would have to do is speak, and the screeching, like, banshee wail of her voice would send everybody running and screaming, holding their ears.
Yeah, so I take it you don't like her, huh?
Haven't you seen?
Oh no,
room?
She's
like
my favorite.
Shrine to her. Yeah, I don't know. She seems kind of crazy. Like she'd do some scratching and hair pulling and flipping out. So I'm gonna go with Yoko as well.
Yoko?
I guess you don't want to mess with a woman.
All right, let's break out the Yoko.
I'm still kind of wavering on Yoda though.
Aren't they related actually?
It could be.
Gandalf is the winner. Yoda is second. OJ is third. Fourth is Yoko. Cowboy Neil. Larry Ellison, Elvis, and ESR.
Alrighty. Okay, I admit, I don't know who Larry Ellison is.
I don't know either, but...
Anybody else want to admit their ignorance?
I have no idea.
Oh, wow.
We're pretty good at that.
But you can still vote.
I believed you knew her. I thought you actually knew this person.
Sometimes okay. It's just everybody feigning ignorance.
Let's do this next one here. My clothes smell like... Angelina Jolie, Chinese sweatshop laborers, pepperoni, Snuggles, the fabric softener.
Oh, yeah.
Stinky meat. That homeless guy on the subway. Fresh and clean as a whistle. Rolling Rock. And maybe it was Heineken.
Maybe it was Heineken, I think.
Oh,
I'm going to go with sweaty meat or stinky meat or... Any meat, really.
I'm going to go with the Chinese sweatshop labors. Okay.
I'm feeling, like, rather grungy today, so I'm going to go with the homeless guy that was on the subway.
Is there a homeless Angelina Jolie option?
No.
Well, then you should be so easy to pick up.
I don't know. After Tomb Raider, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. No doubt I already knew this would probably be it. Fresh and Clean to Whistle is one, but trailing right behind by like 14 votes is Angelina Jolie. And Snuggles the Fabric Softener Bear. And Rock and Roll, or maybe it was Heineken.
I think Angelina Jolie rigged that one. Her brother did.
Wait, hold on. I just have to wonder, after that comment, how come you never see any really attractive homeless people?
Oh, that's
because they'd be working as a stripper.
Well, they've done the studies with attractive people and non-attractive people. And it was a law firm that they had an unattractive person go and apply that was actually qualified for the position, and an attractive person that wasn't qualified for the position. Guess who got the job? The attractive person.
Unattractive person?
Like a Yoda.
Of course the attractive person.
I was going to go with Yoda on that one.
Yeah, that's always the second choice.
That's pretty crazy.
So that's why there's no homeless, attractive homeless people, because... They would be getting job offers as they walk down the street.
That's crazy. Wait, so you're unemployed, right?
Beg your pardon?
You're unemployed, right?
He's in porn.
Oh, I'm so unemployed.
He's employed, but he's low in the corporate ladder.
That's why I'm on radio and not TV, because I have what's called a radio face.
Or is that pizza face?
No, it's only good to look at me over the radio.
Alrighty.
Aren't us nerds not that good looking to look at anyways?
So who's next on
You're supposed
that?
To love us for our minds, not our looks.
What are your guys' happy faces of the month?
Happy faces?
Happy faces.
You know what we like about technology?
Yes.
Okay. Or anything in general.
I had to really figure that one out. That took me a while. I actually like anything that has to do with music. Any technology that makes music better.
Cakewalk?
Cakewalk is pretty good. I like that. But I like...
They've got some pretty cheap, cool drum machines that instead of buying the actual machine to do on the computer.
They're not quite worth buying yet, but one day they will be.
Yeah, one day.
No, I really like processors for guitar, especially. But nice quality speakers, you know. They really, do their best at making quality products, you know, if you want to spend some money, but...
Some of those things, that they're so highly customizable, it's just insane. You wouldn't even think of going into some of the depths of things that some of those EQs and processors have on there, or graphic processors and stuff.
We've been trying to figure out the Alesis, that keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
They did a horrible job on that manual. Man, they can make a keyboard, but they can't describe what they're...
You can't turn your happy thing into a bad thing.
Oh,
well, have you, any of you read Zen in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance?
Huh?
Have any of you read Zen in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance?
You have.
Yes, I have. I was asking if anybody would actually be, hip on my vernacular here. No, because he talks about writing manuals for things. And what he does is he goes into a factory and says, "All right, I'm here to write the manual." And they go, "Oh, here's Johnny. We can spare him." Why can they spare Johnny? Because he does the least amount of anything. Because he's virtually incompetent. So he's the one that tells the writer guy on how to do what the thing's supposed to do. But yet he is the least educated person or competent person on the machine.
This sounds like a good book.
There's something there.
I do believe to this day it is still the best-selling Western book of philosophy.
There's some things that are actually pretty well documented, like Cisco. I think Cisco has the best documentation ever. They're very detailed, very precise, and they have tons and tons of documentation that you get straight out of the box. You don't have to go to the website. They pretty much everything they have on the website is the same thing that they give you.
Maggie actually has really good instruction books. Like, they make mixers and other musical equipment that they actually put jokes in there and stuff. And it's actually, you read it, you don't fall asleep. It's actually entertaining yet informative. So.
It's not really technology, though. It's just how to write a manual.
Well, we can...
Well, that's actually technology in itself.
In a way,
it is technology. Just because it's not using something that's silicon doesn't mean it's not technology.
Right, because technology means the study of process. So if you're studying process and, like, developing your writing, you are doing technology. And so developing better writing or better manual writing is technology.
And not everything that is silicon is necessarily technology.
It could be a bunch of crap.
Well, actually, just how to walk is technology. You bettering yourself through practice or process of doing it. So is thought. So is speech. So is art. You know, like anything that is made is essentially a craft until it is used for a medium of expression. And then it becomes art, which is still, it is a process of expression, so it's still technology, because you get better with every time you do it, and that's why there are masters, and that's why there are apprentices, is there's a whole range of what your level of study of process is.
Are you done yet?
Alright, stepping off soapbox, sitting back down.
What's your happy face of the day, Slippy?
Slippy? I don't know. Recently, I found a couple cool things on eBay, so I was pretty happy about eBay being out there. And I've actually used eBay in the past, and eBay's been a pretty good thing for me. I don't know. I like eBay. eBay's cool.
Sponsored by eBay.
Sponsored by eBay. eBay uses Apache.
Slip, you must say eBay at least 47 times.
If you say eBay 46 times, you do not get paid. No, I do like eBay. eBay's pretty cool. They got a lot of cool stuff on there. And, well, you asked me, and I'm telling you. So, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff on there.
I like that place that I go to that starts with the E.
You can find a lot of stuff on there. I found a Genesis with 4 games for $38.
70 issues of Spider-Man for $3.
Wow.
A PV power amp for way too much money.
You had a bad eBay experience. Yeah, I sold a Palm 5 on there. I got there's some real cool garbage. I don't know. I like Garbage Pail Kids. They got some Garbage Pail Kids on there. I don't know, anything you want. I like pinball machines. I got pinball machines on there. So it's technology well used, I think, because...
it's a great idea for a service.
Yeah, because, I mean, if it'd be tougher if you had it on a book. You know what I mean? Because how are you supposed to auction out of a book? How are you supposed to coordinate all these things out of a book? You know, if you send out a book, kind of like an AllTrader or Apartment Find or stuff like that. And it's just, to me, the internet and that whole service right there worked perfectly. It's like, it completely takes full advantage of its resources to produce something like that. It's the best possible way to do something like that. So
I really liked roomfind.com. It helped me at a great low price to find a quality roommate. It was really excellent service for me and my family.
For those of you who don't know,
it's the roommateservice.com. Dimitri, roomfind.com.
Dimitri and his brothers own roomfind.com.
What are your brothers'
names? Roomfindservice.com.
Because I remember they were Russian like yours, but I don't remember what they were.
They're Gorbachev and Schnabel.
What about Ivanovov? Oh, that was your sister.
I think they're all named Natalie.
Oh.
Pretty sure they're both named Natalie.
Right, so has Brian had a happy face?
Or Natalia or something like that.
Actually, Brian is just...
Brian is getting our coffee, but let's see what VR over here has to say.
Well, actually, I'm really enjoying the idea that we are in the state of technology and development, that if you were able to dream it, that you're able to do it.
But somebody might take it from you and make something else with a slight modification.
Hey, no turning it to a frown.
No.
Much
frowning.
Like Microsoft.
Well, actually, the whole dream there is then, you know, everybody having access to it at a reasonable and prudent price or value.
Yeah, that's true.
I love creating, really. I like creating things, whether it's programming or, some physical object that I create. Even electronics, that would be a nice thing to get into.
Well, right now we're creating something, and it took almost no money to set up, and I think it's...
I don't know about that.
It probably took a couple thousand.
A couple thousand?
Yeah.
To set this up?
Well, the computer is like 1,000.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that was already bought for another service. We just kind of tacked that onto it. You know what I mean?
We're just using this equipment for multiple services.
Multiple services. So yeah, it's pretty good. I got a couple more stories. Were you finished, VR?
Well, actually, I've completely lost my train of thought, derailed like an Amtrak, crashing into the side of a mountain, killing 400 people.
Wow.
You're really imaginative tonight. Imaginative.
Well, like, because I'm half asleep and half dead.
Yeah, and my allergies are acting up as well.
And so I usually am kind of in another hood.
Another hood.
Of reality.
That's our word of the day.
I think someone stole that from someone else there.
Oh, yes.
All right. So
well, good artists borrow, great artists steal.
You watched that Nerds video, didn't you? With Bill Gates and...
No, actually, I have many, many, many friends who did and talked about it for weeks and months on end.
Oh, I see.
And so now, even though I didn't actually see it myself, probably the whole plot storyline and most of the things which were mentioned in there are actually programmed into my head now.
So one thing I have to stress, Steve Jobs was very bitter about everything in that video.
There was probably not enough salt in the world to cut his bitterness.
Man. Did you see the shirts of like 80 hours and still going? Like,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he had like shirts, you know, like he'd make his programmers work as long as possible and he'd get them all hyped up. And
I think I saw that person.
Yeah, he had the guy had a shirt on that said like 80 hours and still programming or something like that.
Well, so that's how long he was programming straight without sleep.
And then the next guy had to have a shirt that said 80 hours and still debugging after that guy.
Yeah, pretty much. No, that his shirt was 120 hours and still debugging. And then, there was a lot of stuff like that. I guess he was figuring that in the software world, everybody could have done something like that, and the only way to do it is do it faster to get ahead of everyone else. So, I don't know.
It's kind of, encouragement that you can just tinker around with something and all of a sudden come up with a great idea and market it and sell it and make a lot of money.
A lot of his employees actually are pretty loyal and they're really into what they did. It's kind of a whole spiritual thing because I guess the way Steve Jobs looked at it is he looked at computers as like art. Integrating something like that into someone's life. Not as a study of, not for process really, but for process of creativity. Now, if you notice how they're...
Well, it's more of a medium.
A medium, yeah. How they pretty much, like, most of the stuff they focused on, other than getting us to do simple stuff like writing letters and stuff like that, is they focus mainly on, if you can see they still do it nowadays, is for graphics and video and stuff like that. So, and they made it much easier and user-friendly than even Microsoft's operating system, and it crashed not as much. I mean, maybe the older stuff, and plus it's really picky with hardware. But if things set up properly, it doesn't crash very often.
See, that's the advantage of competition. Even if a competitor fails, they still force the other company to be better or to adapt the better ideas of the company that fails.
Pretty so much.
That's why it's better to have multiple platforms or anything.
That's why we have the closed and open source kind of, not war, but options. So that's a good thing. Let's finish up with the rest of these stories. I've got a lot of information on the Code Red virus. I could read these stories, but actually I could tell you mostly firsthand about a lot of the stuff. Code Red, the first virus, there's actually a second one that's come out, and they think that there may be a third one. The first one came out, I believe it was early July, I think it was. Nobody knows an exact date. And basically what it did is it infected Microsoft IIS servers via a buffer overflow that it sent to your port 80, your web server port, which would then allow it to basically install itself, replicate itself, and send itself out. Now, what it did was it just modified your homepage and said that it said hacked by Chinese. It did that, so I believe it was the 19th, 20th, or the 21st of the month, it would go around spreading the virus, and then once it got to that date, it would send out a denial of service attack to the whitehouse.gov. And via the denial of service attack, they said they pointed it straight to the IP address of whitehouse.gov. They didn't point it to the name whitehouse.gov. So basically, whitehouse.gov, their administrators over there, changed their web server to a different IP address, which is pretty stupid on the virus writer's behalf. So they weren't affected.
You know what? My website was actually hacked by Chinese, and then I thought it was Code Red. It was very embarrassing and confusing.
That was no good. And what happened was, then they released a... Oh, actually, okay. So within that first period of people noticing web servers getting hit, about 3,000 machines got hit. Or no, no, it was like 13,000 machines got hit within 72 hours. So... It was pretty effective, and they wrote a better one that came out. And maybe they had the better one before, and they just kind of started out with this bogus one to see how that would work and then continued on. The second one is a little bit more malicious. What it does is it installs itself doing the same denial of the same buffer overflow on IIS servers. And by the way, there is a patch, and you can download it from Microsoft's site, and you can also do just go to windowsupdate.com and download the patch. It does the same thing. It installs itself, but what it does is it takes your cmd.exe, which is your command prompt, your command line, basically your Windows shell, and copies it into a directory, which is inetpub web scripts, your scripts directory, which allows anybody to access that file. It does a couple things to your registry that changes the permission, so anybody can basically access that file and use things as an administrator. And it replicated itself the same way, pretty much. It did a couple different things. And the denial of service, it did not do that. It just did this where it would take your command line and basically put it in an area where somebody could execute commands. The bad thing about that, obviously then, that it has that bug in there. But on my web server, I'm basically getting all these logs of all these machines, basically trying to install the same bug on my machine, and I'm getting all these logs of all these IP addresses that you could basically hack. And that's all over the place. So a lot of these people, it might just be, and actually it was geared, the way it was programmed, it was geared more towards sending the worm out to more of the cable modem people, those IP address ranges, and the DSL people. Most of the people that I was hit by was actually in the 63.x.x.x range, which was basically a lot of DSL people and some cable people. And it could be like a Windows 2000 machine that has IIS installed, You may just play video games on it, and they don't know about it, and the machine is hacked, and they don't know that it's having that problem. This is typical of like a lot of viruses that are out there that basically it can be used to put a robot on there or a sentinel on there that you could round up these sentinels and basically send out an attack information saying do a denial of service on these IP addresses. There's some other viruses out there that are like that. Nobody quite knows who did this. Nobody really knows what the actual intent is. Maybe it's just to exploit Microsoft's crappy product or their bad backdoors that they seem to leave.
Steve Jobs.
Steve did it.
Hacked by Steve.
Hacked by Bitter Boy.
I gotta be fair though. There is some viruses that can hit Linux, but it's not too many. And you can't hack Linux boxes, to be fair. But I guess somebody did it just to be done. It's kind of one of those things that humans are always trying to push the issue. Say, can we do that? Can we do that? Can we do that? And maybe that's what it's for. Because personally, I don't think that this person really cares about hacking these machines. I think from my take on it, he just wanted to do it to see if he could do it and maybe make a statement like, hey, be more security-wise. Start patching these things up. Man, you know... Your machine's getting hacked and you don't even know it. You know?
Well, I have a question about the whole security-wise argument. Is if they're really, really concerned about security, you know, like people getting into the machines and all that, isn't a virus doing that the only reason you really need to be secure? Yeah. Isn't most ways to get into a computer really, really difficult?
It takes somebody that's a little bit savvier than the next.
Right. So it's really talking about people who really are in the know of how to break into machines.
Yeah.
And so really the only security or like antiviral things that you need are because people make viruses and worms.
Well, it's kind of like the strongest man survives. Like the weak die off and the strong stay strong and keep living. So if you're more conscious of what's going on the internet and technology in general, and being safe on your own side, like I patch my system whenever I get bugs or whenever I see patches, I do what I can to keep it safe, because it's basically like somebody breaking into your house or breaking into your car. If you have sensitive information, they could be stealing that. It's just the fact that somebody broke into your house, somebody broke into your computer. It's kind of uncomfortable. It makes you feel like someone was into your private domain that you didn't give access to, but they seem to just jump on in. And so it's just, you know, it's just, that's pretty much my feel on what it is.
I get your point, though. It's like, if people didn't do it, then they wouldn't have to do it. So
right. It's these
pointless.
Few people that are doing this kind of thing.
That makes it necessary.
That makes this whole industry necessary.
Well, yeah. Blocks. But see, these people, too, actually, I think sometimes when people do this, I think it's a wake-up call.
You know, people don't break into your house to prove that your house can be broken into. I think it's a bunch of crap, actually. I'm sure there's probably a couple of times that it happens for that reason. But most of the time,
guy's
like, ooh, I have access to all these machines, I'm cool.
Yeah, or I just found out this nifty way to break into machines.
Yeah.
I'm going to show the world how bright I am.
I don't think it's that way most of the time where people are doing to do that. But things like Back Orifice, that program, that was created to, you can use it as a mint tool, or you could also say that, you know, Windows security sucks. Or you also have, because lately there's been a lot of IIS and Exchange Server bugs that have been popping up, and I think that this has pretty much been shown to do that, to use that to get in. So,
you know, there's another thing too. Like, if someone can make a virus or hack into your system, they pretty much already, you know, they can get any software they want. Pretty much, they don't have to get into someone's system to steal any software. So, what do they really have to steal? Except for maybe some personal information, like a love letter you wrote.
It's pretty much to see if you can do it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're no better than a mugger either.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. If you have stuff that's really personal, really sensitive information, like, keep it on a disk. Seriously. I would never keep anything that personal on my hard drive or something that would really damage me personally if I lost it. What is so difficult about storing it on a CD?
Well, if you don't have a burner.
Yeah, that could make it better.
That could be a problem.
Or myftp.com. Yeah, right.
It would be a problem, though, if you had some really high-quality graphics that you're working on for a long time, and then some broke in and destroyed them all.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. But most of the time, it's
you'd have them backed up if you were...
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another story that's been happening lately, actually. This happened at DEF CON 9.0. I was at DEF CON. It was actually pretty cool. There was a presentation by a Dmitry Skyarov. Skyarov.
Didn't we hear about him earlier?
No, we did not.
I've heard about him before somewhere.
No, because before you, he said...
Yeah, that was actually somebody else. That was not this person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this person, yeah.
Well, phonetically, it sounded very similar.
Wow. Well, because they're both German.
I have heard of him, though. He has something to do with code. I don't know. He has something to do with something.
If you guys take a listen, you'll find out.
That's a good
All right.
Okay, the Russian software developer was arrested by FBI agents in Las Vegas this week, one day after he publicly pointed out copyright protection weaknesses in electronic book programs produced by the nation's largest software companies. Dmitry Skyarov, 26, was taken into custody Monday at his Alexis Park hotel room on charges of trafficking in software design to circumvent security features of an e-book program sold by Adobe Systems Incorporated, which bills itself as the second largest PC software company in the United States.
That's where I've heard of him, of course. Free Dmitry.
Free Dmitry. Yeah. So, yeah, basically it circumvents the technology of the encryption, and it takes off security features of the e-book, and he showed that. And this is something that his company makes over in Germany, and they busted him on it under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, dun-dun-dun, and which is circumventing an access control device. Adobe went to press charges. And then after a couple of days, they said, you know what, we don't want to press charges. Maybe they realized that it was really publicly not a good thing, and it also wasn't, it's not something to, you know, point this guy out and make him the
scapegoat?
The scapegoat, okay. So
I just want to watch you struggle for a second. But did he actually reveal this at DEF CON?
Yeah, he did at DEF CON.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I saw the presentation.
And then did they arrest him? Like,
no, they didn't do it right there.
Jeez.
They did it the following day, Monday, because DEF CON was out Sunday.
That's some crazy stuff, that Digital Millennium Copyright Act. That's just some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I'll get some more on that in a minute. So the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is a really cool bunch of people that basically help people out in situations like this, his bail was posted. It was a $50,000 bail. I believe... Let me find the date. I think I have the date here.
First date you ever had.
It was a couple days ago. I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday. But he's out, and he's staying with a fellow German friend of his in Las Vegas, Nevada. Or did they go to California? I think they went to California. Either way... he cannot leave the country, and it's pretty much up to, gosh, I'm supposed to be telling the news, but I think, I'm not sure which one it is. It's the person that Bush has appointed to be the new head of the FBI is pretty much, in his hands of what's going to happen next. And
so, let me see if I'm understanding this right. All I did was publish exploits for it.
He basically wrote a program, showed how his program worked, and that's it. And you can probably download the program. And that's what he did. He didn't sell pirated things. He didn't sell non-copyright things. He didn't show you how to pirate. He just said, ebook says you can only do this. Now you can do whatever you want. So that was pretty much it. And plus, the ebook isn't even that popular anyways. Well, I'm going to download something, put it on a stupid screen, read it. And they have some ebook stuff that you can only download and read for 10 hours. You have a time limit if you want to read it. And you have to pay per view, or you have to pay. They have all sorts of screwy things that you have to do. Sometimes you just pay for the normal book. I don't know. I'd rather go out, get the paperback, get the hardback, own it, let it collect dust on my shelf after I read it, show it to somebody a couple years down the road, whatever. I'd rather have the real thing.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems extremely stupid product to me.
Well, I don't know. Some things, you know, like computer-related manuals or, like, programming books, you don't always want to read the, you know, buy the book, because after a while you just have to throw it away, because who's going to want it? You know, there's certain things that have to be updated constantly, so you might as well just read it online or something.
Well, a lot of that stuff is already online. Like, technology stuff is, you know, they have how-tos, or they have, somebody has, a website dedicated to hacking a PlayStation, you know what I mean? Like, some websites, like, dedicated to this program, or dedicated to Java tricks, or...
Well, it's not centralized, really. It's actually a fairly decent way of, you know, getting books that need to be updated often.
Well, you could do something different. Instead of putting it on this ebook machine, you could just have it on a web browser. You totally wouldn't need the ebook machine. It would just be a cumbersome add-on.
Yeah, but it's pretty expensive. They have to make money somehow. I don't think it's a bad product, really. You know, it's really not fair. Like, you could put it online, but then it would have to be free, you know, and then who would want to type all that stuff out?
Do you own one?
What? No.
Okay, then there goes your little speech.
I don't need one.
See, I don't need one either. Like a Palm Pilot, I don't need Palm Pilots either.
I don't know. Palm Pilots and drum machines in the same category. Technologies that will be useful one day, but they're not at the stage of development.
Well, if you're a rapper, a drum machine.
No, sorry, not. I didn't mean drum machines. I meant electronic drums.
Okay. I don't know. I think Palm Pilots are good too. I have a little digital recorder, so I can remember stuff. But you know, that would be nice to have. I don't have one because it's kind of expensive right now.
Okay.
I'm positive tonight.
You're positive that you are?
I'm positively negative.
Most of the stuff that I've seen for Palm Pilots are iPacks. iPacks are the cool thing. They're kind of just, I don't know. If you're a business person, you need to have your contacts on you at all times, it's good. If you, for scheduling, it's good. Little notes and post-its, kind of like all the stuff Outlook does. It's good.
It's also in color, and you can see really good pictures of naked people, I'm sure, too.
Wow.
Yeah. So you could just be anywhere.
What is this thing called?
It's called iPack. It's kind of like a Palm Pilot. It runs Windows CE. It also runs Palm OS. I think they have a Linux version coming out.
You can get onto the internet. It's wireless.
Right? Yeah, it's really cool. They have this thing. It's called Pocket CAD for architects. You can open up CAD drawings and do like red lines and stuff, make notes. It's pretty cool. It's more advanced than the Palm Pilot. Then they have the iPad, and I think they have a camera on top of it, and that's pretty interesting.
So I can make my own adult entertainment.
Oh, come on, we managed to keep it out of the show until now. Dimitri had to ruin the street.
I'm sorry.
Jeez.
Hey, at least it's not video.
Are you guys going to also start like slotfind.com instead of roomfind too? Are you guys going to have one of those?
Do what?
You guys going to have like a slotfind instead of a roomfind?
And the floodgates open.
Actually, that's going to be my new thing that is already scheduled to open in a few weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's pictures of his immediate family. And,
and his,
remember, he has a radio face.
So.
The rest of them is okay, probably, but, you know, it's the radio face that's going to get you.
All right, let's get these last two stories out and wrap things up. It's there's this a couple people that are really interested into changing some of the stuff on the digital Millennium Copyright Act. Republican Rich, and this also goes along with Dimitri, Rich Boucher wants to spring a Russian programmer from jail. Boucher, a Maverick Vinaigrette, Virginia Democrat, is hoping to rewrite a federal law that led FBI agents to arrest Dmitry Skylarov in Las Vegas, Nevada last week on copyright felony charges. It's a broad overreach to have a person arrested under federal criminal laws simply because he made software that circumvents a technology measure, Boucher said. Boucher said his office will draft a bill to be introduced later this year. The criminal law in question is the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which was obscure enough when Congress enacted it in 1998, but has emerged as one of the most important and far-reaching technology regulations. Skylarov is charged with trafficking in a program to Abyss Adobe's copy protection for ebooks, a federal felony under the DMCA. I think the current case adds impetus to the growing effort to fashion an amendment to the DMCA that would restore the classic balance of fair use rights, Bowser said. That promises to be anything but a vital or trivial task. Leaders of the House and Senate subcommittees that oversee copyright law said Tuesday that they would not consider any changes to the DMCA. Because of the fierce opposition, Bowser says he may not introduce his DMCA amendment until as late as next year, and because the Congress may delay considering it, it won't free Skylar Rao from jail anytime soon. The law is performing the way we hoped, said Republican Howard Coble. He's from North Carolina. Chairman of the House Judiciary's Committee on Intellectual Property, said Diana Feinstein, a California Democrat and Cobbler's counterpart, said through a spokesman that she is not looking to change the law. These people probably don't even know anything about technology, and they're making this law. In the House, Coble is the fifth highest recipient of the music industry cash. Coble is the fifth highest recipient of the music industry cash, according to OpenSecrets.org. Wow. Feinstein is the fourth highest in the Senate, and at $127,000 ranks second on the movie industry's donation list. Only Senator Hillary Clinton receives more, $213,000. What that all translates to is an uphill battle against the copyright holders who say that they will do their best to prevent the DMCA reappeal. Just goes into a little bit more about how the politics on the DMCA are going. Jump in the story real quick. This is something about a senator. Well, this is about a senator who wants to modify the XP, Windows XP. A Democrat senator urges state senators Tuesday to seek an injunction blocking the fall launch of Microsoft's controversial Windows XP operating system unless the company makes changes to allow easier use of rival software applications. Wow, I can't even think. When I have my allergies, sometimes it's not easy for me to read.
And when you snort crack cocaine.
And crack cocaine, too. Senator Charles Chummer of New York, a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee and a former skeptic of the government's antitrust case against Microsoft, said he feared without significant changes, new technology might never get the opportunity to compete. Microsoft disagreed. Windows XP, which is scheduled for an official launch on October 25th, is designed to bring more choice and options to consumers, not fewer. Yeah, right. Company spokesman Vivek Varma, wow, who was the person that cursed him with that name? Vivek Varma said in a statement, Microsoft shares lost 77 cents to $66.32. Schumer told reporters that he had asked New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer and his counterparts from other states to file a lawsuit seeking to block the release of Windows XP unless Microsoft agrees to make significant changes to XP either as part of a global settlement or on their own initiative. The state antitrust officials said previously that concerns about Windows XP would figure prominently in the settlement decisions. Schumer said he also asked the Justice Department to make open access for competitors a key condition and of any negotiation settlement. The senator said he had become increasingly concerned about Microsoft's behavior amid indications XP would sideline products such as AOL Time Warner instant messaging software and East Codex digital photography software. It goes a little bit more also in the politics of what's going on, but a lot of people are seeing what's coming with the Windows XP product.
I'm not going to buy it.
I'm not going to buy it. And I've urged everybody else not to buy it.
Are you going to buy it, Dimitri?
No, I don't buy anything.
Well, you still pay for it if you get it.
I thought you used eBay once.
Well, I'm not talking about that.
Are you talking about operating systems?
Yeah. I don't have to buy them anymore.
Because I got Dimitri on Linux now. Except for Millennium Box, but that's all right. That's his last attempt. Or his last...
Other people buy my stuff. I don't buy them anymore. So I don't care what they do. If you want to buy me XP and I'll use it, I don't care.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Dimitri, you're letting me down, man.
Dude, we're all going to die. All right?
but it's going to be a while from now. So while I'm here,
so Bill Gates,
I'm not
going to
stand for no
us.
Stinking software company's crap.
And while we're here, we're going to remain in the now.
In the now. All right, well, that was our August show. Everyone here is a little bit tired, a little bit kooky. But we pulled through.
Kook.
And we discussed some good things, I guess, other than the... we had some medium to good things. So, anybody else have anything to say?
Well, as we're sitting here talking about technology,
mm-hmm.
I actually recycled some guitar string into a nice little contemporary modern art flower-esque.
Modern?
I think that's probably the B string.
The B string?
Pretty sure.
Ooh, which is kind of metaphoric for the flower.
Yes.
Right on.
B.
So I've been entertaining myself.
We're going to be auctioning this on eBay. It starts at $50, and there's no...
And it's got a really crazy, vague, modern art name, Brian.
Yeah, it's called B-String.
B-String.
It's called B-String. It's going to be under the antique section, and there'll be no reserve.
And it's high art technology.
And it starts at $50.
Shipping is free.
It's not useful, though.
Well, actually, you could actually put it in your lapel pin and look really cool. Look all really right. Modern.
Anything sold here at Slipknot's online store is cool. But we don't have an online store, so.
All right, until next month, we remain.
In the know.
Yes, I'm JP, signing off.
This is VR, reminding you to ask what color your day is.
This is Dimitri, ditto.
Dimitri, man, you gotta spice yourself up.
Yeah, well, he just ended his positive streak here.
Oh, that's right. He only has a certain period of time that lasts.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That whole morbid kick.
Let me do this over again.
All right.
I'm Dimitri. We're all going to die soon. It's all going to end.
And I'm Slip Mode, and I'm not going to be dying soon, and I'll be back next month. In the know.